Well, today I'm finishing my sermon series. We've been going through the month of January and first part here of February on stay positive. And we've noticed God wants us to act differently, to be different than the world. He doesn't want us to be negative people. He wants us to be positive people. He doesn't want us to be discouraging and complaining and overly critical people. He wants us to be encouraging people. He doesn't want us to be greedy and stingy and miserly. He wants us to be generous. And he doesn't want us certainly to be uncaring or unconcerned for others. He wants us to be loving. God wants each of us to be able to say, I'm positive. I'm encouraging. I'm generous. I'm loving. And he wants us to be able to say, I'm thankful. I'm grateful. Now, you know as well as I do, there are a lot of people who cannot honestly say that because they are not thankful. They are not grateful. Their actions and their words would show they're not grateful and thankful to God or even to others. Samuel Liebowitz was a brilliant lawyer, criminal lawyer. Later on in his career, he became a justice of New York Supreme Court. He won the majority of his cases. He saved 78 people from dying in the electric chair. And the amazing thing is, he said, not one of them ever said thank you. That's hard to believe, isn't it? Saved from the electric chair, and you don't even say thank you. In the heyday of radio, Art King had a program called Job Center. He helped people who called in find jobs. And it is said over the period of time he had the program on, over 2,500 people actually got jobs from the program. And yet he said over the years they had the program on, only 10 people ever said thank you, ever expressed their appreciation. That's hard to believe. Not 10%, not 250 out of 2,500, that would be low enough, but only 10 people ever said, thank you for helping me get a job. A young man was addressing an envelope at the post office. An elderly man came in, walked over to the young man and said, sir, I can't write anymore. Would you please address this postcard for me? And the young man said, sure, we'd be glad to. Addressed it, and then the older man said, would you please just write a little note for me? And the young man said, oh, be glad to. And then he said, would you even sign my name? So he ended up signing the old guy's name. And then he said to the old man, is there anything else you would like me to do? And the old man took the postcard, looked at it for a moment, then he handed it back to the young man. He said, yes, could you put a P.S.? P.S., please excuse the sloppy handwriting. I want to tell you, there are a lot of ungrateful, unthankful people out there. But we as Christians, we are to be different. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning of verse 9, says, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Notice, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since the members of your body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Colossians 4:2. Devote yourself to prayer. Be watchful and thankful. And one more, 1 Timothy 2:1. I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings, notice this, thanksgivings be made for your friends. Other Christians, no. For all people. Thanksgiving is a major topic, major theme throughout the Bible, both Old Testament and New Testament. I read recently that if you own a Bible, you are abundantly blessed because 1/3 of the people in the world today do not have access to a Bible. That's hard to believe. With the way we've been giving Bibles out for the last 100 years, yet still 1/3 of the people in the world do not have access to a Bible. 1.5 billion people do not have the Bible, the full Bible, written in their own language. If you can read the Bible, you are more blessed than 35 million people in the United States, because 35 million adults in the United States cannot read. If you awoke this morning with more health than illness, you are more blessed than 1 million people who will die this week. 1 million people will die this week. If you have never experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, the pangs of starvation, then you are more fortunate than 500 million people in the world. If you have food in your refrigerator and clothes on your back and shoes to wear, a roof over your head, $20 in your pocket, you have a place to sleep, You are richer than 75% of the people in the world. Count your blessings is a favorite old hymn, and great advice in those simple words. When upon life's billows you are tempted, tossed, when you feel discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Jim Burns, in his book Radically Committed, tells about an incident that happened a few years ago with the New York Police Department. A woman was on top of a 54-story building. She's planning to jump, commit suicide. They sent a suicide squad. They did their best, but the woman was determined she was going to jump. One of the policemen called his preacher, asked the preacher to put her on the prayer chain. And the preacher said, "Hey, can I come down?" And he said, "Yeah." Well, the preacher came down, and he went up to the captain. And he said, "Hey, can I try to talk to this woman?" And the captain said, "Hey, what do we have to lose? You know, nothing's working. Go ahead." So the preacher went up to the top of the building, and he walked close to this woman and spoke to her. And he said to her, I'm sorry that you have no one who loves you. And the woman looked at him and said, "What?" He said, "I'm sorry that you have no one who loves you." And she was kind of shocked, and the police were kind of shocked too. That's not typically what they would do or say to somebody who's getting ready to commit suicide. She said, "I don't know what you mean. I have a lot of people who love me." "Well, I'm sorry, you must not have any grandchildren who love you." "What? I have eight grandchildren, they all love me." "Oh," he said, "okay." And then he stepped a little closer. He said, "I'm so sorry, you must be broke, you must be poor, you must sleep out under the clouds every night to have nowhere to go in the evening." "Oh, what are you talking about? Look at my clothes, I'm a wealthy woman. We live just a block from Central Park. I have all kind of money." And he said, "Well, I'm sorry again. Tell me, why do you want to jump?" And she said, "I forget." And then she did not jump, and she went over and talked to him. And as she took out the pictures of her grandchildren and explained in lengthy detail about each one of them, and the next year, she ended up being a volunteer in the suicide hotline. Most of us have a lot more to be thankful for than we typically think about. Christian psychologist Robert McGee writes about a gratitude exercise. He'll talk to his clients that come in depressed and just so unhappy. He'll say, "Before you get up in the morning, or when you get up, one day a week, I want you every week, one day a week for the next 3 months, to count and write down 100 things you're thankful for." That sounds like a lot, doesn't it? Getting up in the morning and before you go to work, or getting up in the morning, first couple hours, write down 100 things you're thankful for. But when you begin to think about it, it's not at all hard, is it, to think about 100 things you're thankful for? Just as you're laying there in bed, before you get out of bed, thank God for your pillow. Now, I know you don't like your pillow. No one likes their pillow, right? I mean, but you have a pillow to sleep on, but probably not one. You probably have two or three. Thank God for the mattress. You know, you're sleeping on a mattress, not the park bench. You have a roof over your head. You don't have to, you might be a little nervous about security, but not much, not like the guy sleeping in the alley or sleeping on the park bench. You have a sheet and a blanket and a comforter. You're warm when you sleep at night. Even when you go out in the living room, you have that comforter on your couch, so when you get cold, you pull it over. When you get out of bed in the morning, you have shoes to put on, and socks to put on, and slippers to put on. In fact, when you go to that closet and you choose the shoes, probably most of you have a minimum of 3 pairs of shoes. I could have you put your hands up, fellas. How many of your wives have, no, I'm not going to do this, but you probably 30 pairs of shoes or more. Not that that's wrong. What I'm saying is, man, we're blessed. There are people who don't have one pair of shoes, and we have all these shoes. You get up in the morning and you step on a carpet that's kind of warm. If you had to get up at night and go to the bathroom, how many of you went outside to an outhouse? I don't know if there's anybody here who can remember doing that. Probably, maybe, at a campground. You do? Really? If you think about it, that's no fun getting up in the middle of the night going out to an outhouse in cold in the winter. Even in the summertime when you have to fight with the spiders and the mice and the raccoon at the front door, you know? You get up in the morning, or a couple times a night, you go up to the bathroom, and you have a porcelain throne there. I mean, it's great. You have water, not just water. You have hot water, hot and cold water. You get out of the shower, and you have a towel to dry off with. You don't have to shake off like a dog. You don't have to air dry. You have a nice towel. If you really want it to make it nice, have your wife or husband or kids throw it in the dryer just before you get out, you know, then put it. That's really great, you know. That's like heaven on earth, that nice warm towel drying off with. I mean, we have a lot of blessings. When you get out of bed in the morning, you don't step out on a dirt floor. You turn the lights on, you have electric. A lot of people don't have electric. This last week, it's hard to believe, here in East Palestine, we had two elderly gentlemen come in, needed help. One was the father and the son. The father was 80 years old. His boy was late 50s. The boy looked older than his dad. The man's mother, a wife had died, and she took care of the bills. And so these two guys hadn't been paying the bills. They had a lot of bills. They had an electric bill that a couple months old, and the electric was turned off, and the bill was enormous. We couldn't even help them with it, not even to begin. And these two elderly gentlemen had been sleeping in their car the last two nights. No place to sleep. Why would they sleep in the car? They could turn on the engine, you know, and keep warm for a little bit. Even here in East Palestine, you'd be surprised how many people have no place to live. They stay at a friend's home. They stay in the car. They don't have an apartment. They don't have a home of their own. We're blessed. We're really blessed. You go in the kitchen this morning, in the morning, and you have the toaster. You have those frozen waffles you just stick in the toaster. You have food to eat. When you pour that cup of coffee, thank God for Juan Valdez. I mean, you have all these different things. We're blessed. You sit down in the living room, you turn your television on, and you sit in your chair and you change the channels. You have a question, hey, how old is that actor? And somebody asks Siri, how old is so-and-so? And you find out how old that actor is. What else has he played on? And you have a voice that just comes out of nowhere and tells you. We are really, really blessed. The newspaper comes to the front door and it's delivered for you. Your wife comes in the kitchen, your husband comes in the kitchen, your kids come in the kitchen. Somebody comes in the kitchen, you can thank God for them. You say, I'm by myself. Well, you look at the pictures on the wall, and you thank God for the memories. You thank God for that vacation when you guys had so much fun. You remember the beach. You look at your grandchildren, and you just count your blessings. We all have so much to be thankful for. The little dog comes over, and you pat it on the head. You have that dog, and you thank God for your dog. You look out the window, see the neighbor's cat going up the road. You go, thank God you don't have a cat. Well, I'm just kidding. Don't get mad at me, those of you who love cats. When you got your coat on to come this morning, how many coats do you have? You have just one coat? Most people have that heavy coat for the winter time. Then you have a lighter coat when it's cold, but not that cold. Then you have that spring coat or summer coat that you wear. Then you have coats that are for nice occasions. Then you have a coat that you go out and work in the garage or cut the grass or whatever you have to do, shovel the snow. You know, you have coats for all these occasions. We're blessed. All we have so much. It's not really hard when you think about it in the morning to count 100 blessings. It's not really hard. The great British preacher John Henry Jowett said, gratitude is a vaccine, an antitoxin, and an antiseptic. It's a vaccine to prevent the invasion of a disgruntled, discouraged spirit. It's an antitoxin to destroy the poison of cynicism and criticalness. And it is an antiseptic to soothe and heal the most troubled spirit. In 1998, a film came out. It was a foreign film, Life is Beautiful. It was nominated for 7 Academy Awards. It told a story about an Italian family, but a Jewish Italian family that had been captured, and the father and son were put in a Nazi concentration camp. The father tried to hide what was going on from the son. He tried to hide his son from the Nazi soldiers, the guards. He told his son, we're playing a game, and the one to 1,000 points wins. So if you ask for your mother, you lose a point. If you complain about not having food to eat, you lose a point. If you hide when the guards come around, you get a point. If you're quiet when the guards come around, you get a point. And he made it a game for him. So he took this horrible experience and he did his best to make his child comfortable as possible in that situation. Hollywood loved the movie. Like I said, it was up for 7 Academy Awards. The Italian actor who acted in the movie and also directed the movie was a man by the name of Roberto Benigni. And He won the award for the best actor. And that was the first time ever that a foreign film with the English subtitles, the man won for the best actor. And when he was announced, he got so excited, he jumped up. He actually danced on chairs and all over the tables to go up to the stage. And there on the stage, he was so excited. Sophia Loren was there presenting the award, and he hugged her so much she almost passed out. And he got up and just really was so excited, hard to restrain himself. The next year, he was given an opportunity and given an award to somebody. When he was standing on the stage, Billy Crystal, who was in the MC for the awards, had a net so he could throw the net over him in case he got so excited again and he started dancing around and doing things. But I like what Benigni said. He said this: it's a sign of mediocrity when you demonstrate gratitude with moderation. That's pretty neat, isn't it? It's a sign of mediocrity when you celebrate gratitude with moderation. Psalms 100 says, "Shout for the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." When I read this psalm, I get the feeling that Roberto Benigni was onto something. The psalmist says, shout. He says, sing. He says, praise. He says, give thanks to the Lord. And you just get the idea that he doesn't want you to do it in mediocrity. He wants you to do it with exuberance. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is too many people seldom demonstrate gratitude of any kind to the Lord, yet alone express their gratitude in an enthusiastic manner. But we are called time and time again to express our thankfulness to God and to others. So I want to ask you, can you honestly say this morning, I'm a thankful person? One of my favorite Peanuts Karma strips came out some years ago, right before Thanksgiving. Lucy's feeling sorry for herself, and as she laments, my life is a drag. I'm completely fed up. I've never felt so low in all my life. Her little brother Linus tries to console her, and he says, Lucy, you're in a mood like this. When you're in a mood like this, you should try to think of things you had to be thankful for. In other words, count your blessings. To that, Lucy says, ha! That's a good one. I could count all my blessings on one finger. I've never had anything. I will never have anything. I don't get half the breaks that other people do. Nothing ever goes right for me. Don't talk to me about counting your blessings. You talk about being thankful. What do I have to be thankful for? And Lina says, well, for one thing, you have a little brother that loves you. With that, Lucy runs over to her little brother, Linus, and hugs him, and she cries these tears of joy. And while she's hugging Linus tightly, Linus says, every now and then, I say the right thing. Let's make it our practice in our lives to do the right thing and to say the right thing. Let's make it a practice to say, thank you. Thank you to God and thankful and thank you to others. Let's make sure that we can say, I'm a thankful person. If you're here this morning as a Christian, that's something that we need to work on, that we will be thankful. Oh, we can all talk about our problems. We can all talk about our difficult circumstances, but in spite of that, we can be thankful. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, one way you can show God thanks is by giving your life to him. Jesus gave your life for you. To become a Christian, the Bible says you need to have faith that moves you to say, I'm going to try to live the way God would have me to live. That's repentance. And then to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins and gift of the Holy Spirit. You want to say thank you to God? You want to become a member of his family? Want to have him remove your sins? Come forward this morning. We'll take your confession and baptize you into Christ Jesus. Let's be standing as we sing together.